History is messy. It's weird, wild, and anything but boring. Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is a history podcast about unhinged stories that make you stop and ask, wait, is this real life?
From crazy disasters and tasty scandals to enlightening and surprising heartwarming tales, we explore the moments where people behave badly and sometimes beautifully.
We've got naughty politicians, cultural chaos, and a deep love for the Pacific Northwest, including Bigfoot.
It's thoughtful, irreverent, occasionally serious, and always entertaining.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
MSW Media.
Is our government about to shut down? Why? And what happens next? How is our healthcare at stake? Our guest, Ann Schaup from Protect Our Care, is here to talk about it. Welcome to Care Talk Live, where we talk about how healthcare works or doesn't work in America and get you answers. I'm Laura Packard, cancer survivor and healthcare advocate, here to help you. Please text or call in your health insurance and healthcare questions at 202-838-6837, and our experts will answer them in future episodes. Be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts to get next week's Care Talk show. In today's episode, Ann Schaup talks about how America's government may be about to shut down this week and what that means for you. So welcome Ann Schaup, the Senior Advisor for Strategic Planning and Prospects at Protect Our Care.
Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for having me today.
So let's start, since it's been more than four years since the last government shutdown. In fact, the last government shutdown was also under President Trump. People may not remember, what is a government shutdown? So tell us, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we haven't had a government shutdown since the last Trump administration, as you said. But you know, basically, they have to pass a spending bill to fund the government, or else it'll shut down. So the deadline for that is this week. We are coming upon it, and so they have to pass a bill before the end of the day tomorrow, or the government shuts down on October 1st. So that is the deadline that we're hurtling towards. And, you know, what will happen, you know, it kind of depends on, you know, what government service and, you know, what department and how their funding comes in. So right away, people might not see much of an impact. You know, people won't be able to go to their government jobs unless they're deemed an essential employee. So you might not see these things right away. But we, you know, if it drags on for longer and longer, then, you know, folks will start to see the impacts of it. And it's really impossible to tell how long this could be. The last government shutdown in during Trump's last presidency was the longest one ever. I believe it was 35 days. And so that really did drag on and people started to see the impacts. But, you know, it all depends on how these negotiations go and you know, if Republicans are willing to fix the mess that they're in. You know, same as the last shutdown, the Republicans have a trifecta. They have the White House, they have the Senate and the House. And so, you know, this is really on them. They need a certain number of Democratic senators in the Senate to vote on their side to pass the spending bill. But they have not come to the table to negotiate at all. They're being firm in their desire to keep this healthcare crisis going. So unless, you know, they really come to the table and work with the Democrats, then they are going to be shutting down the government. So, and, you know, I might have gotten a little ahead of myself here on how healthcare is related. So I don't know if you want to talk about that next, but, you know, this whole shutdown is kind of, you know, related to the issue of healthcare.
Mm-hmm. And just to repeat what you said, for many people, things will continue as the day after the shutdown will look like the day before, except if you're a government employee, then you either are not working at all, you're at home furloughed, or you are working without pay, and maybe you will get that back pay later. But as time goes on, you will really feel the difference as you try to do anything involving the government. And the government touches our lives in many ways every single day. So my advice to everyone listening and watching is if you have anything going on with the government, any issue with your Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, veterans benefits, anything, try to get that resolved today or Tuesday, because Wednesday, many of the people that will be there to help you may not be there to help you. So healthcare. How does this government shutdown relate to healthcare?
Well, this is really a crisis of the Republicans' own making. You know, we were following closely the bill that was passed over the summer, the big, beautiful bill. We call it the big, ugly bill. And what happened in there, you know, $1 trillion in cuts to healthcare, devastating, gutting Medicaid. And so we're really starting to even see now, even though it's only been a few months since it was passed, the consequences of that bill are already starting to happen. But the Republicans did not extend the tax credits that help people who purchase insurance on their own. They did not extend those as part of that bill. And so they decided to end them. I mean, that was a tax bill. There was a through the reconciliation process. It actually was, you know, a tax bill. They did not choose to extend these tax credits for people who purchase health insurance on their own. So this is now they're ending. And now people's premiums are going to be shooting through the roof. Premiums are rising for everyone anyway. But so that means if people don't have these tax credits to help them purchase the coverage, that their coverage is gonna explode. The cost of their premiums is gonna go up so much that many people won't be able to afford that coverage, and they're gonna have to make impossible decisions about, you know, what bills are they gonna pay, and are they gonna try to, you know, pay this exorbitant amount for their premiums, or are they gonna go without? And so the Congressional Budget Office has crunched the numbers. And they found, you know, that, you know, 4 million, 5 million people can lose coverage because of this. We'll just go without coverage altogether. But, you know, 20 million people are going to be impacted by this. So, you know, it's a huge problem. And it's something that's really frustrating at a time when, you know, last year of the Biden administration, we had more people covered than ever before. More people had healthcare coverage than ever before. And so to come from that and then, you know, do this reversal right away in the Trump administration, where we're really fighting to get people the coverage that they need, is really disappointing. You know, because that took a lot of effort, you know, among advocates and lawmakers to get us to that point where more people were covered. We were really going in the right direction to ensure that everybody has the coverage that they need and deserve. And instead, here we are in this Republican crisis. And I will mention that these are tax credits. And so they did not put them in their tax bill, where they did extend tax credits for billionaires permanently. So they were willing to do that for billionaires, but they were not willing to make these tax credits permanent for hardworking people trying to afford the coverage they need. And so this is where we are. And so the Democrats in Congress are saying that you need to come to the table. This is your mess. You need to fix it. And, you know, if you want our votes to pass the CR, then you need to fix this and, you know, undo some of the terrible cuts to Medicaid that happened in the big ugly bill. But you know, also make these tax credits permanent for hardworking people, just as they made, you know, they were willing to make the tax cuts for billionaires permanent. So that's where we stand today.
And I'm watching this very closely because I have insurance through the Affordable Care Act. I have not yet gotten a letter in the mail that says what my premiums will be for my policy for next year, but I am dreading that letter because I know they're going to be up. And it's just a question of how much further they're up, because I have to pay it. as a cancer survivor, health insurance is not optional. So whatever they charge me, I have to find some way to pay it. I think that one thing people may not have thought about much is whether or not you have insurance through the Affordable Care Act, whether or not you have ACA health insurance and have subsidies, all of these healthcare cuts make health insurance more expensive for everybody, because all these insurers, as they drew up their rates, as they made their plans for next year, they made assumptions about how many people would drop out altogether. And, you know, with uncompensated care, without customers, without people, you know, buying the insurance, everybody else has to pick up those costs. So rates are going up. However you get your health insurance, rates are going up. Rates are going up quite a lot. Can you talk more about how, whether or not people have ACA health insurance, how they're going to be affected?
Yeah, it's a great point, Laura. And, you know, of course, the people that are going to be impacted the most are the people that buy insurance on their own, small business owners, farmers, you know, people that don't get it through their own workplace, but this does impact everybody. Like you said, the cost of uncompensated care. So if some people don't have insurance, they're gonna, you know, need to go to the emergency room anyway. And so that care is, you know, and if they go to the emergency room, the emergency room has to take care of them. They have to treat them. And so conditions, people won't get the preventative care they need. Things will get more complicated. People will go to the emergency room with these serious issues. And so that becomes more, you know, expensive for the system. And so then that has to be paid for, and it will be paid for, you know, by the rest of us, and all of our healthcare premiums are going to be going up and healthcare costs. And then also, you know, with the people losing care, these margins for hospitals are really tight. And so, especially in rural areas. So with the big, ugly bill that was passed, people were warning this is going to be really devastating to hospitals, particularly rural hospitals. And unfortunately, we're already seeing that, even though a lot of the Medicaid cuts that were in the bill haven't even gone into effect yet. Hospitals have to plan out, well in advance, what their budgets are going to be, what their plan's going to be, how they're going to allocate resources. And they're already looking at, you know, how many people are going to lose their Medicaid, how many people are going to lose their insurance due to the ending of the premium, the tax credits for premiums. And so they're looking at their bottom line and making tough choices. So we're already seeing a lot of hospitals closing. And if the whole hospital's in closing, we might see, we're seeing a lot of maternity wards closing or cancer care centers closing, a lot of rural clinics closing. So, you know, not even just, there's hundreds of hospitals at risk and nursing homes. But so we already know of hundreds and hundreds of hospitals at risk, but we're already seeing a lot of announcements of closures. My organization, Protect Our Care, has been tracking this since the summer. And, we're just seeing story after story across the country where hospitals are announcing their closure. They're announcing that they're no longer going to be providing maternity care. So if you live in a rural area, there's no, say, emergency room, there's no maternity care center, you're going to have to be traveling long, long distances to get the care you need. And unfortunately, in emergency situations, that's going to be a life and death issue. And this is the reality that we're living in now. And so that's why, you know, the Democrats are trying to hold strong here and make Republicans come to the table to try to undo some of the damage that they've done. We're already seeing the damage starting to take effect.
And speaking of those hospital closures, I have been traveling in Southern Virginia. There was no show last week because I was on the road with home health care workers talking about these cuts. But we're already seeing hospitals close in Southern Virginia. But again, people need to keep the wider perspective. Maybe you don't live in Southern Virginia, but the people in Southern Virginia that need healthcare will still go to the hospital. They just have to travel farther. And that means longer lines, longer wait times for hospitals in Northern Virginia. So This affects you. It may not be your local hospital that closes, but if a hospital anywhere in your entire region closes, that affects you because all those people will start going to your hospital and making wait times even longer for your care. So just like with health insurance, whether or not you have health insurance through Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act, cuts to those programs will affect you eventually, even if not immediately, directly. So, Anne, tell us what this, in this pretty depressing time, while people are trying to figure out what's going to happen with the government on Wednesday, what's going to happen to my health care, what, if anything, can people do about it?
Yeah, I think this is a really important time for people to reach out to their member of Congress and let them know that this is a really important issue to them. You know, I think it really does matter. And right now, I think the Democrats need to hear that the Democrats need to hear that their constituents, you know, think that this is an important issue for them to fight and continue the fight on. And to know that they're doing the right thing. But then Republicans also need to hear from their constituents that this is a hugely important issue. This is a time when no one can afford, to have increased healthcare costs. They're being squeezed from a bunch of different areas. And so it's really important that they work with the Democrats to pass something that addresses some of the issues. So I would definitely, do everything you can, write an op-ed, reach out to your member of Congress and just make your voices heard on this issue, because especially now, I think they really are listening. I know it's like a trite thing that everybody's like, call your member of Congress. No, it really does matter here. They're going to be doing the tallies of how many people called in and what they said and they'll be noticing. So and this is a very, you know, this is a popular issue for extend these tax credits to keep them in place. It's very popular. People want these tax credits. But I think some of our members of Congress need to hear that because they think that they can play politics with people's lives and people's health care. So they need to hear that, no, this is an important issue. And I think they know, some polling came out today from the Republicans themselves, where they said, don't talk about the healthcare aspects of this, make this an economic thing, because they know that their side isn't popular. All the arguments you hear from them are basically scapegoating and trying to, you know, spin the issue around, because they know their side is deeply unpopular. So keep the pressure on and let them know that you'll be holding them accountable.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Anne Schaup from Protect Our Care.
Thanks for having me.
And now our experts will answer your health insurance questions. So welcome to Diane Archer, founder and president of Just Care USA and senior advisor on Medicare at Social Security Works, and Louise Norris, health insurance and healthcare reform analyst at healthinsurance.org. So let's start with Diane. And Trump has made some announcements about tariffs on prescription drugs. So tell us what's going on and how will people be affected?
Sure. So there is some good news here, which is that 90% of the drugs that Americans take are generic drugs, and the tariffs will not affect generic drugs. However, the tariffs are likely to affect the price of brand name drugs that are manufactured in the European Union and other countries like China and India. They are projected, these tariffs, to be as much as 100% on brand name drugs. That doesn't mean that drug costs will go up that much. We don't yet know how much they will go up, how much pharmaceutical companies will raise prices, and how much they'll absorb most or all of the cost of the tariffs. But what we do know is that drug companies have raised drug prices since Trump took office on nearly 700 drugs. And that's with Trump asking them not to raise prices on drugs, to bring prices down to the same level as what people in other wealthy countries pay. Now, most notably, 60 days ago today, Trump sent a letter to 17 of the largest pharmaceutical companies asking them, again, voluntarily, to bring down the price of their brand name drugs. what happened. Unfortunately, what happened is that the price of 87 drugs went up in those 60 days, and that four of the 17 companies Trump wrote to, including Merck and Sanofi and Pfizer and Genentech, actually decided they were going to refuse to obey Trump's request. So now the ball is back in Trump's court. What is he going to do? Is he going to punish these drug companies in some way and bring down drug prices for brand name drugs the same level other countries pay? Or is he going to continue to allow drug companies to raise prices to astronomically high levels people can't afford?
And what I found interesting was I just read the other day that some pharmaceutical companies, you know, Trump tried to pressure them to lower their prices here. Instead, what they've done is they've raised the prices of the drugs in Europe to be the same as in the US. So that doesn't help Americans get affordable drugs if Europeans pay more. I mean, that is not really helping us here. That's just helping the pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly. And the latest is that they set up a website for Americans to buy drugs directly from them. I haven't had a chance to look at this website. It's just up today, I'm told. But I am also told that the price of the drugs on that site are, if anything, only marginally lower than what you pay at the drugstore.
Understood. And open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act starts soon, November 1st. And right now it is very end of September. But people may be getting notices in the mail for renewals for next year, like I am waiting for mine. What do you recommend people do if they see extreme price hikes for their health insurance? So Louise, what all should people do as they get those notices?
Yeah, so this is there are a lot of moving parts here. We do have just a month until the start of open enrollment, so people are going to be getting notices from their own insurance company and also from the marketplace. Just for perspective, there are more than 23 million people enrolled in the marketplace, and then there's another maybe 1 or 2 million who are enrolled in those ACA compliant plans directly outside the marketplace. Of the people in the marketplace, almost 22 million are getting subsidies, those premium tax credits that Ann was talking about earlier. So nearly everyone in the marketplace is not paying full price for their coverage. So one of the factors that's happening for next year is the regular, just like full price, base prices of these plans is increasing more than we've seen in the last several years. The last time we saw increases this large was for 2018. So it's pretty significant. In most states, the average is well over 20% in terms of just like the base price of your coverage going up for next year. But like I said, most people don't pay full price. So the bigger issue for most enrollees is that, as Ann was also talking about, there's a part of the premium tax credits that's scheduled to expire at the end of this year. If that happens, the premium tax credits for next year will be smaller and they won't be available to as many people. It'll basically go back to the way they were before 2021. So there will still be premium tax credits. They just won't help as much. Since 2021, they've been bigger. Those subsidies have been bigger and they've been available to more people. So what you'll be seeing, and then the other thing is Congress could choose to extend those premium tax credits at any point. They don't necessarily have to do it this week. They don't have to do it even before open enrollment starts. So this is definitely something to pay close attention to. You might get a notice from your insurance company, you know, here in the next week or two, that's reflective of those premium tax credits getting smaller next year. And then at some point this fall, that could change. So I think a real takeaway point for people is keep paying attention, even after November 1st, keep paying attention to see if you get any updated communications, to see if anything changes at the federal level on this. If the tax credits, those enhancements to the tax credits are allowed to expire, a really important thing for people to know is subsidies will no longer be available at all if your household income is more than four times the poverty level. So these are, so there are numbers like for a single person for next year, that's $62,600 in the continental United States. If you go even a dollar above that, no tax credit whatsoever, regardless of how much your health insurance costs. For a household of four, it's $128,600. You can look up these numbers depending on your own household size. You're looking at the 2025 federal poverty level numbers and comparing them with your income for next year. One thing for people to be aware of is contributions to a health savings account or a pre-tax retirement account will lower your income as far as the way the IRS counts your income for marketplace subsidies. And starting next year, any bronze plan that you buy inside the marketplace will make you HSA eligible. So if you're a little above that threshold and all of a sudden you're facing a situation where you are losing your subsidy altogether and you're going to have to pay full price, you might find that by buying a bronze plan and making a contribution to an HSA, you can bump yourself back down into that subsidy eligible range. So these are there. You can reach out to a navigator, a tax advisor. Like if you have an accountant or a tax advisor, that's a good person to talk to. A broker, you can contact healthcare.gov or the state-run marketplace in your state to ask questions. Don't let your coverage auto-renew. Make sure you're shopping carefully and looking at these plans. And then again, if we get to November 1st and these subsidy enhancements still have not been extended and you go ahead and pick a plan for 2026, keep paying attention, because if all of a sudden, halfway through open enrollment, Congress extends the subsidy enhancements, you might want to go back and pick a different plan. And you can do that as long as in most states, your deadline is December 15th to get coverage for January 1st. So it's just a year to be really heads up, reading all the communications you get. And if you don't understand something that comes in the mail, contact, call the health plan, call your broker, call a navigator, and keep asking questions until you understand what's going on.
Thank you, Louise. And open enrollment for Medicare will also be starting soon, October 15th, which is just a few weeks away. So, Diane, what do people need to know or do ahead of time for Medicare open enrollment?
Okay, so for Medicare open enrollment, I would advise two things. First, understand the difference between traditional Medicare and Medicare Advantage. With traditional Medicare, you are able to get coverage for care from virtually any doctor and hospital anywhere in the country, and without the prior authorization hoops that you face with corporate health insurance. With traditional Medicare, however, unless you have Medicaid, you're going to need to buy or want to buy supplemental coverage to protect yourself from high out-of-pocket costs. And sometimes that can be hard to get depending upon your health status. So you need to look into that. In Medicare Advantage, you're going to have restricted access to care from the doctors and hospitals in the Medicare Advantage plans network. And your costs may not be so high upfront, but if you do get sick, you might find that you are faced with inappropriate delays and denials of care and coverage. So though you're supposed to get all the benefits of Medicare and more in Medicare Advantage, lots of people are finding lots of data suggests that you are not getting all your Medicare benefits in Medicare Advantage, especially when you need costly and complex care. The other thing you need to remember, as Louise was saying, for the state health exchange plans, don't assume auto renewal in Medicare Advantage, because a lot of Medicare Advantage plans are leaving the market in 2026. And even the ones that are staying could be charging much higher premiums or changing their networks dramatically. And you don't want to be in a plan that costs you more and gives you even less. The problem with Medicare Advantage at the end of the day is it's always a gamble, because you never can know that you're going to get the care you need from the doctors and hospitals you need to see if you're diagnosed with a costly and complex condition. And that's why if you want to be sure to get the care you need when you need it without delay, the care that your treating physician says you need, you want to be in traditional Medicare.
Thank you, Diane. And thank you, everyone, for joining us to learn more about how the government may be shutting down and what happens next, as well as your health insurance questions answered. So please text or call in your health insurance and healthcare questions at 202-838-6837, and we'll answer them in future episodes. Join us next week for more on healthcare in America and probably more on what's happening with the government shutdown. Be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Laura Packard, and this is Care Talk.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.